That's right. Okay, so praying with authority. This is, I love this because I think it's key. Like I said a few weeks ago, I think it's the last time you was here, Christine, I spoke, didn't I? Yeah, sorry about that. Starting church at an early age, without really knowing it, I found that I kind of got conditioned to a way things should be, which affected me later on with how I prayed. Because in a group setting, I wouldn't necessarily pray, because Linda would back me up on this. I describe myself as being a word mong. Yeah, not very good with words. So when it came to praying, I didn't, because I was afraid that I wouldn't use the right words. Yeah. So I was expecting that, you know, to stand up and go, holy this and all that, you know, but it's not me. That's not what. But my journey is discovering that prayer is a personal relationship, a chat with our God. And you can talk to him however you want. Yeah? It doesn't have to be big, long words with big meanings. And hopefully when we go through the presentation, I've learned to look at words and think, that doesn't sound right. And then delve a bit deeper into the words and have a look at their proper meaning. So, praying with authority. So, prayer. So, the word prayer comes from the Latin word. So, I've managed to do it Latin and Greek in this one. Couldn't do it last time. Comes from the word precarious, which means obtained by begging. So, when I first read that, it kind of freaked me out, because my understanding of precarious is, yeah, here we go, something that's dodgy and dangerous, just about to fall over. But apparently, when I looked it up, the word's actually changed over the years. So precarious actually means depending on the favour of another person. Okay. And then the other word I didn't like in this was begging. Because, I don't know, when I read the word begging, it conjures up, and this is just me, it's like almost like a dirty image of someone, you know, begging. But when you look at the word and break it down, begging is to ask someone earnestly or humbly for something. So that kind of changed my opinion on that. So obtained by begging. So prayer is when we put in a request to our God. And then like I've just, well, no, I didn't say this earlier, but prayer can be done out loud or silently, alone or with others. It can be a corporate or a personal act and can take many forms and techniques. Yeah, so we'll all find ways of prayer, how to pray, how we do it, how we feel comfortable doing it. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to discover what works for us. Yeah? I see a lot of people nodding, which is encouraging. So yeah, I'm shaking a little bit, which isn't good, is it? Adrenaline. So next one, what is prayer? Sorry, I've adjusted all my typesetting so it fits on the screen, and it's gone really small this time. It's not over the whole wall. So, what is prayer? Prayer is a way to communicate with God, to express feelings and thoughts. It can be done in many ways, including, I thought this was good, asking for help. People pray to ask for help. Giving thanks, people pray to give thanks. Feeling close to beliefs, people pray to feel closer to their beliefs. Communing with God. I had to look up communing. Communing with God. People pray to commune with God. And communing is share one's intimate thoughts or feelings with someone, God, especially on a spiritual level. People pray to develop a relationship. People pray to develop a personal relationship with God. Being open to guidance. People pray to be open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Praising God, like this one. People pray to praise God. Oh, well, yeah, and the last one. I do this one a lot. Confessing sin. People pray to confess their sins before God. So I thought that list was quite good. I quite enjoyed reading through that. Breaks it down for you. So the next one in is, how do we pray? Anybody know where we can find how to pray? Yeah. And then the very first part of that scripture, can you remember what it says, Ian? So we're looking at Matthew 6, verse 9. The very first bit of that, before Jesus explains it to us, is, this then is how you should pray. Yeah, and we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, which in my previous notes was what I called the go-to prayer. How do we pray? So Matthew 6, 9 to 13, the Lord's Prayer. Like I said, it starts off, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Like I said, I like to break things down. And I had this big plan in my head that I was gonna write a new Bible version and call it the PAV, which stands for Park, Authorized Version, being a parky, you know? And I was going to break it down and use real English words in it. But I stumbled across something on the internet, whatever you want to call it, which suits the purpose really well. But before we go into that, so this is how we should be praying, yeah? Anyone disagree with it? Well, cool. So from here, we've also, what backs this up is there's some other key scriptures I've made note of that actually back this up. Just getting organised. So I've actually entitled it, Key Scriptures to Read, Pray and Proclaim. So we've got, so this just backs up what Jesus said to us with through the Lord's Prayer, yeah? So it is Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. And then I've got footnote. There is a sentence found in the Aramaic. I look at Jonathan when I struggle with words. Aramaic, is that right? Yeah. Aramaic. That is missing in all but one Greek manuscript, which reads, as my Father has sent me, so I send you. I think it was key to put it in there because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But the key bit, I think, is that we're being sent as well, you know. So I think around about this time, this was just before Jesus left, yeah? And he was talking to the disciples about going out. And he was saying to them, I send you, yeah? And he says that to all of us, yeah? I think that's important. And then we've got Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. There's another footnote here as well. The Greek text, literally, snakes and scorpions, which are emblems of the demonic. Yeah. Matthew 18:18-19. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So another footnote, the Aramaic is, if you are deserving of what you pray for, the implication is that God will not give you what you are not ready for. I thought that was quite good, because sometimes, especially I've done it, you pray for something and you get frustrated because you prayed 5 minutes ago and that hadn't happened, yeah? Yeah. And then the next day it's like, still not happened. But I think it's, we need to be positioned correctly with God, yeah? So the implication is that God will not give you what you are not ready for. Just as an earthly father would not give his 8-year-old a car to drive. Yeah. Just makes it. Yeah. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him. And then Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Cool. What's next? Oh yeah. So instead of writing the PAV version of the Bible, what we found was a short clip. This is 10 minutes long, so that means I'm going to be finished before 12. It's just, I thought I wasn't going to fill the time, but here we go. So what we do is Chris is going to hit the lights. Cheers, Chris. And then we'll watch this. It's 9 minutes 25, I think. But when I watched it, and I thought, do you know what? This says everything that I was try and get across, but this probably does it better than me, so thank you.
Section of Jesus' teachings called the Sermon on the Mount, he taught his followers a simple prayer to adopt as their own. The prayer has two short halves, each with three requests. The first half focuses on God's purposes in the world, and then the second half addresses our concerns in day-to-day life.
So it's a short prayer.
It is, but this little prayer contains a whole new way to look at everything in the world.
Jesus begins the prayer this way: Our Father who is in the skies. So, God lives in the sky?
Well, in the Bible, the skies, or the heavens, are a way of imagining God's universal power and presence that are above all things. In God's realm, God rules as the king whose will and purpose are always done.
But Jesus doesn't refer to God as king.
No, Jesus calls God our Father.
That's a bold thing to claim about the God of the universe.
It is. But a key claim in the Bible is that God has appointed humans as representatives and beloved children to embody God's wisdom and rule in the world.
But the story of the Bible is about humanity's disregard for this calling, how we make a mess of things.
And so the prayer continues. May your name be recognized as holy.
Now, holiness, that's a fancy religious word.
Sure. In the Bible, holy signifies God's one-of-a-kind status. God is the source of all reality and the author of life, and it's this God that calls the family of Israel out from among the nations and then attaches his holy name to them, setting them apart as holy representatives to all the other nations.
But just like all of humanity, they mess up this calling.
And that led to Israel's defeat and subjugation to many empires, bringing dishonor on God's holy name. But Israel's prophets, like Ezekiel, said that one day God would restore the holiness of his name among the nations.
How?
Well, by raising up a new representative who will restore God's rule over Israel and the world, so everyone can see how holy and good God really is. And that's who Jesus claimed to be when he went around announcing the arrival of God's kingdom.
And that makes sense of the next lines of the prayer. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. As it is in the skies, so also on the land.
Jesus taught his followers that when we love God and our neighbor, when we treat others with God's generosity and justice, we are entering God's kingdom. And so this is a prayer for the reunion of heaven and earth, and we are invited to participate.
Okay, that's the first half of the prayer, focused on loving God and seeking his will.
The second half shifts to the challenges of daily life as we pray for God's kingdom to come.
Give us today our daily bread. That's as basic as it gets, asking God to provide food.
Yeah, Jesus is using an image from Israel's story when they journeyed through the wilderness and God provided just enough bread each day.
That's a tough place to be, not knowing where your next meal will come from.
And remember, Jesus' audience was filled with poor people struggling to get by during the Roman occupation. And so he invites them to join their ancestors in the wilderness, trusting God's provision each and every day.
Wow, okay. And the prayer continues. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us.
Jesus made forgiveness central to his movement. He announced that God was forgiving Israel and all humanity for its long history of violence and greed. And so he calls his followers to do the same, to forgive those who hurt us.
But we can't go around forgiving everyone. I mean, won't evil spread unchecked? Won't people take advantage of you?
Well, for Jesus, the problem is that our desire for revenge just keeps the cycle of pain going. He taught that forgiveness begins with naming the wrongdoing, but then not seeking vengeance.
So that doesn't mean becoming best friends with the person who wronged you.
No, but it does mean releasing my right to get totally even with them, and even learning to pray for their well-being instead.
That kind of forgiveness requires radical trust in God.
Yes, Jesus invites us to see that forgiveness is like breathing. In order to truly receive and take in God's forgiveness, you have to be in the habit of giving it out. The two work together as one.
Finally, Jesus prays, "Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one." So wait, God might test us?
Well, remember the biblical story, how God appoints humans as his representatives in ruling the world? That opportunity presents them with a choice.
Will they partner with God and rule by his wisdom?
But along with every choice, there's a voice whispering that we could do things our own way, by our own wisdom. And that voice twists the test into a trap and forces us to decide whose voice will we trust.
So Jesus invites us to ask if we can be spared from tests altogether. Like, can I just live a normal life, please?
But Jesus also knows that even normal life is full of choices that will force us to trust God or something else. And so when we find ourselves in a trial or a test, Jesus urges us to ask for protection from the evil one's lies.
And with that, the oldest form of the prayer comes to an end. Short and powerful.
But check this out. This is Jesus' own prayer that he prayed himself.
Really?
Yeah, the night before his execution, Jesus went to a garden to pray. And while he didn't want to die, he called out to my Father, saying, "Let your will be done, not mine."
Oh, that is this prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done.
Jesus had been praying this way for so long that when his greatest test came, his arrest and execution, these were the words that carried him through.
And Jesus was delivered from evil when God raised him from the dead.
Right. In fact, it was through his act of self-giving love that God's forgiveness and heavenly kingdom came to earth. This is how God's holy name was restored.
So this prayer that Jesus taught his followers, it's a way to make Jesus' story our story.
The prayer invites us to daily trust God and to love and forgive each other so we can participate in the story of heaven and earth becoming one.
Like I say, I was quite glad when I found that, because then it meant I didn't have to rewrite the Bible into more words. I think it was good. I think that was good. And then looking at that, the things that came out to me was the love and forgiveness bit, the side of it. I think that could be quite key in life, because that can bind us up and hold us back from moving forward into what God's got for us. And then the other thing was, they said that was Jesus's prayer that he said the day before he died. And I'm kind of thinking, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me, do you know? I know that's really simple and basic, but yeah. So, yeah, so Paul is going to put that on the website, aren't you? We'll be able to put the video up there as well, because I think the link to the video is on YouTube. Because I think you might need to watch it a couple of times. I mean, I've had the luxury of watching it two or three times. So, but yeah, I just thought that was really amazing. Thanks for listening. I would just all encourage you just to step out and pray for people. Yeah, amen. Thank you.